some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
This is not all of the Dark Order. The Dark Order is everywhere, and we have strength in numbers. And Hangman, you've pissed me off for the last time. You understand me? Because now you pay.
Hey, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280, and that's all I got to say about that.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 1st. Happy first day of August, everybody. A couple holidays today. It's Campfire Day, International Hangover Day. Hey, any of you guys surviving through a hangover today?
Nope.
It looks like everyone's pretty well. Maybe it's today's Get a Hangover Day. It's Hangover Day. So, National Girlfriend Day, National Mahjong Day, National Mountain Climbing Day, Mustard Day, and of course National Raspberry Cream Pie Day. Happy 70th birthday to former WWF wrestler Bunkhouse Buck. It's a happy 54th to former WWE referee Mike Chioda, 48 to Devon Dudley, and happy 43rd to former WWE superstar Yoshi Tatsu. That name hasn't popped up in a while, has it? Yoshi Tatsu, remember? I don't know if you remember him or not, but I remember him very well. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Would you want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R. And I'm sure with the world starting up soon, maybe that'll be starting up soon as well. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. The panel of special hosts today, our special co-host, we've got Furby in the top left corner. If you're watching on Facebook Live, how you doing, Furbs?
Doing fantastic. Glad to be back.
Glad to have
a good time in Atlantic City.
Yeah, we got to talk about that in a little bit. We got DC Dan Cole to the right of Furby in the squares of knowledge. How you doing, DC?
Doing just fine. Good morning.
Danger Boy is just below Furby. How you doing, Danger?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
And the Artiste, what's up, buddy?
Good morning. Hello. No garlic bread yet, but the day is young.
Yes, it is. It is. And you can get it. You just have to drive there, order it, drive there, pick it up, go home, and eat it. So welcome to the show. We're here to talk about the world of professional wrestling. A lot of things going on this past week. You know, WWE starts building up for SummerSlam, where we're not sure it's going to be, but I'm guessing pretty much it'll be in the Performance Center. Lots of news in general, but... you know, I don't know. What do you want? What do you think is the biggest thing to start off with this week in news wise? I kind of threw you down a list. Is there something I missed on that, or is there something that stands out? Any one of you guys?
I think the list is pretty good. I think I don't know exactly what the top story is. Like Kyrie leaving and her goodbye is pretty big, and then MJF's promo was pretty solid. I mean, all of them are pretty much right on par with each other. It's a weird week that there's no big story that stands out on top of everything.
So we're not going to say that Cameron or Ariane is the number one story of the week?
Well, that's in there. That's for sure. That's one of the things to talk about because you know, Cameron and Matt Cardona both. We'll talk about their debuts on AEW this past week, AEW Dynamite. You know, slowly but surely, with the contracts up and the wait time up for most of these superstars, more and more will be showing up. And of course, we got to see Zack Ryder or. Some call him his real name, Matt Cardona, shows up on AEW this past week, and it's like What'd you guys think? Was that, were you expecting that? And I mean, and Zack Ryder, he's like an unsung hero when it comes to the world of wrestling. He really tolerated a lot of stuff for many, many years in the WWE. And, you know, even getting himself over to the point where they had to scale him back in his own personal, you know, YouTube page and stuff like that. So it's nice to see him show up here. And, you know, what are they going to throw him into? I mean, he's tight with the best friends already, as far as I know. So, but what do you guys think?
I think it was definitely one of those things that kind of we're waiting to see where the pieces fell. You know, there was a lot of speculation early on. Obviously, he's good friends with Cody. And then, I mean, we're going to see him tagging with Cody next week on Dynamite. So we'll get, you know, the first Matt Cardona experience in AEW. But another article that came out, too, this week, out of the guys that Cody wanted to work with and bring into AEW, Cardona was one of them. And then the other guy that was listed in the article, Miro, also known as previously with WWE as Rusev. Which he came out this week and said he's done with professional wrestling and just going to be a streamer. So we'll see the truth of that, whether that's true or not. Not to mention he has been banned from Twitch, too, apparently.
His ban has been revoked. It was only a one-day ban.
Yeah.
One-day ban, okay.
And it's because of Twitch's stringent policy on bikini babes. And
it's because he's so damn handsome.
Oh, that too. That too.
Yeah. Rusev.
He is a handsome son of a gun, isn't he? But and he also was going through COVID-19 as well. I mean, he was exposed to it. So he that's another thing that's probably, you know, but I'm guessing if that didn't happen, he may have made a huge debut in the last week or so someplace. Yeah. Yeah. You think so, Danger?
It's possible. It's all timing and everything. I mean, with debuting people without crowds is tricky because you don't get the reaction. You don't get what you want. Like, if they had that show on Wednesday in front of a crowd of fans anywhere, there would have been a very large pop for Cardona coming out. Instead, it was, you know, you got the wrestlers pop, but it's not the same, and you can't really judge how people take different things. It's hard debuting people during the pandemic.
No,
and unfortunately, it has to happen, but it's hard.
What would help is if the announcers didn't have a lukewarm reaction to it, too.
Yeah.
and announcers kind of have to step up and take over in the absence of the crowds in those instances.
And that was my issue, too, back when they actually debuted Brian Cage as well. I remember distinctively with Excalibur on the call, there wasn't much reaction at all. And especially for a guy that was thrown right into the title scene right away, you would expect a lot more excitement out of that. And it just kind of was like, oh, there's Cage. You know, there wasn't a lot of huge pop from the announcers. Again, Excalibur wasn't on TV this past week, you know, with Cardona. So, you know, you don't know what we could have got. But, I mean, I like the fact that we're kind of sprinkling in debuts now as we go along. So we'll see who's next.
Did you guys? Well, I mean,
it's tricky to figure out like what they're going to do with these surprise debuts too. There's only so many different ways that you can book them. That was kind of a little bit of a mediocre. Like Arn Anderson standing there, and he's standing there, and all right, something's happening. Oh, there's Cardona. Okay, now the broadcasters are going to acknowledge him, but like, it wasn't the most exciting way to do it. But again, you know, without fans, there's not much you can do. I mean, sometimes you could just have guys show up, sometimes you announce them ahead of time, whatever it is. I'm excited he's there. I'm just disappointed that he's not just going by Zach, so it can be the sweet life of Zach and Cody.
You know, it reminds me of something I remember hearing from Matt Hardy a couple weeks ago about how his debut, when he was expecting in Rochester, when he was supposed to debut, the crowd loving him and stuff, and it kind of like killed a little bit of his broken Matt Hardy character. Now he seems to have thrown away all of his creations, and just he's coming out as Matt Hardy now. And I think it was the audience, the lack of audience. He even admitted how disappointing it was that he didn't, you know, I mean, because he knows that they would have been eating that alive, you know, given two huge debuts that night, him and also Brody Lee. So, but
I think it's okay with Matt Hardy. They don't have to like rush things with him. I mean, if he's going to be around for a while, he can wrestle here and there. You know, I like that they're, I guess, putting him into this feud with Guevara. But I mean, Hardy also, you have to keep in mind, like, he he's gotten some of the biggest crowd reactions in, I mean, the last couple of decades, but especially the last few years. But he's also done enough of the empty arena cinematic style things more than anybody else that he should be okay with it.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, he's one of those characters they don't need every single week.
That's for sure. And it's like, and obviously, you know, we did get him just briefly as Matt Hardy this past week, coming out against
Sammy. Mighty
Matt. Yeah, Mighty Matt against Sammy Guevara there, which, you know, I like the depth of talent in AEW, that's for sure. I'm just scared that they're not going to, I mean, they've got to be able to use more of these people every week, you know, if they want to keep getting them over, you know. I mean, listen, Orange Cassidy is it right now. He's the man, you know. I mean, I don't think anyone's hotter than he is in that company. But it's like you have to make someone else lose his time on TV because he's coming out. So, you know. But,
and not to be too negative about that, like, I think the debate that he's going to have with Jericho, I have to believe that's going to be super entertaining. I don't know if I'm looking forward to the rematch as much. Like, again, you got to have things for these guys to do, and Jericho was the champion for so long, and now, like, he's not really in that picture. But, like, I didn't really think we were going to keep going with the Orange Cassidy, Chris Jericho thing past, you know, the last match and stuff. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's good that they do, actually. It's nice to see one of these things kind of go on for a while. I mean, eventually Cassidy's got to get over, so we'll see how that happens. But, you know, we did mention briefly that Excalibur wasn't on TV, and it stood out to me a little bit that he wasn't there because of his great play-by-play calling of matches. And it's like, you know, they had to lean on, you know, three color guys there to fill in and no play-by-play. So Taz kind of took over that spot. And I just felt short a little bit this week without, and listen, I'm the biggest skeptic in the world when it comes to announcers. And I didn't know who Excalibur was in the beginning, but I've learned to appreciate him immensely. I think he's really, really good at what he does. And it's like you can definitely tell when he's missing.
Yeah, and I'm reading an article now, actually. There was not really even a reason given for his absence.
Oh, there's a reason why he was absent.
Yeah.
It was a promo he cut in PWG that it was spurred on by the Human Tornado. It was Race, and him and Kevin Owens cut the promo, and it's not good. And he regrets it, and they both regretted it immediately as soon as they did. They didn't feel comfortable doing it, but they were asked to do it. And it resurfaced this past week, and that's why he was not on TV.
Yeah, I was actually just getting to that now. I see that. That's unfortunate. I mean,
it's a tricky situation because, like Danger was saying, it was a very long time ago. And I think, you know, like a lot of people, I doubt that, you know, AEW management and stuff didn't know about this. Obviously, a lot of that management are people who wrestled in PWG and stuff too. So I'm just curious to see what they end up doing, if they just held him off this set of tapings. Obviously, when the Guevara stuff came back up in a similar situation, because it was from a long time ago, but obviously it's a different topic. You know, AEW immediately put out that statement. This kind of came out right before the AEW tapings, and obviously that's a few very busy days that I kind of thought maybe we would see a statement or something by now. So I'm curious to see what happens, but I don't know. What he said in the promo, it was a long time ago. There's no excuses for it. I just don't think it's a surprise to anybody now that, like, if you're in management, you got to know that stuff happened, and I don't know, try to be proactive about it or something.
I mean, I guess to give him a little credit, as far as what I've seen, he was the one that chose to keep himself off of TV this week because he didn't want to draw any undue attention to this being brought back up. So at least he had the awareness that it was smart to step away for the time being.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll do one more thing before we go to break here. And I think that you see Eddie Kingston got signed after his little debut a couple weeks ago. Good for him, man. It's like we haven't seen him really on a national TV show since Impact. And it's I can imagine him coming out maybe being the mouthpiece for a group or something. I mean, I mean wrestling as well. But I think, what do you guys think? It definitely is a good signing by AEW.
I definitely think it was, and he deserves it. It's interesting how now we're seeing a lot of the guys who are being brought in for like that open challenge now actually getting deals. Obviously, this is the second guy, with Ricky Starks being the first, and then now Eddie Kingston. So it's nice to see a lot of these guys getting opportunities. And that's the second guy actually now that's come over from NWA to AEW. So further separating NWA away from potentially what that could be as well.
I think it's awesome. Kingston's been around for nearly two decades, and this is by far the biggest spot he's ever gotten. He's earned it. You can see, we talked about it last week, but you can see even more after the signing came out this week, how excited all of his peers are about it. He's always been such a good guy in indie locker rooms. Everybody's always loved working with him in or out of the ring. And so I think it's a huge addition and very well deserved.
Yeah, the question is Warhorse get signed after this? I mean, well, how'd you feel about his coming out with the open challenge?
I think it was one of those things that was pushed heavily by a lot of just fans. I'm not sure if he's a guy that will get a deal right away, maybe further down the road. I think he's still so heavily involved in the independent wrestling scene. He was just in Atlantic City for a Beyond Wrestling show Sunday, where I was. So, I mean, who knows? There's always opportunities. There's always chances. Not to say that it's not. I mean, there's always seems to be an open door. We'll see.
Yeah, we definitely will. Once we go to break on that, and if you want to join this magnificent panel of wrestling intelligence, you got to give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. We'll take calls, and you can ask any question you want and give your opinion on anything. We're going to go to break on that. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Wants something that Braun has. And until he gets what he wants, none of you are safe.
It is time for a change in leadership around here. Change. It's a powerful word I just used. I remember when this company first started, I saw men calling for change. One man in particular called for a paradigm shift. He said he wanted out with the old and in with the new. Well, I don't know about you people, but a guy on top of the card who gets to do whatever he wants, say whatever he wants, and wrestle whoever he wants, simply because he came from the place of Titans, isn't new. That's old hat, brother.
I don't have to worry about pushing Jeff Hardy towards the bottle anymore. When an addict as strong as he is, it's only a matter of time. Because I'll just sit back, relax, and let nature take its course. Jeff Hardy is not my problem anymore. And that's bad news for the SmackDown locker room. Because now, on their problem.
When I beat Orange again, he's going to stand in the middle of the ring and give me $7,000 cash to repay me for this jacket that he ruined. What color is this jacket, Tony?
It's kind of orange. Looks orange.
It's even oranger than it was last week. Some kind of demon orange juice that he spread all over me. We're going to get revenge for that.
This is Y2J Chris Jericho, the hero of the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back, and if you guys don't know, Chris Jericho and his band are coming to Rochester October 16th. They're going to be at the Montage Music Hall. You definitely you want to get tickets now. Let's hope it happens. It's first comment I get after I post it on our Facebook page is, wasn't it canceled? It's like, it just announced it. This is, you know, an hour ago. How can not canceled yet, sir? You know, be optimistic. Maybe we will have concerts by the time October comes around. But they're going to be in Rochester the 16th and then Buffalo the next day. So, you know, hopefully we'll get Mr. Les Champion on with us and talk a little bit about Fozzy's new album as well as what's going on in AEW before that date happens. Listen, it's August 1st. Can you believe we're in August 1st already? Half the year's gone by already. It's just unbelievable. You know, isn't it crazy?
It's easy to know that it's August because hockey starts today, and that always starts in August.
You're right. I forgot. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. It's going to be exclusively here on Fox Sports 1280. I don't know if you heard that promo coming back in, but yeah, hockey starts and basketball started, what, 2 days ago or last night? And baseball, though.
Baseball ends.
Baseball, it might be ending this week. You know, who knows? You know, they just... I just heard this whole story on Fox Sports before we got in about how the guy from Miami went to when they were in Atlanta went to pick up food at a strip club and hung around enough to tip people, and unfortunately then now half of Miami's team is COVID-19 positive, so. And that's it, you know. But yeah, baseball, I'm scared. It's kind of it's very fragile right now, so we'll see how long it goes.
I mean, Cash, maybe everything being said, maybe not the worst thing you could get at a strip club.
True. You know, and he said that he went in and went out after the food, but apparently someone said he was walking around tipping people. So, and you know how that works, right? Well, I mean,
yeah. And I'm sure he reads Playboy for the articles.
Yeah, certainly.
That's all that's left of him now, right? Right here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about MJF's promo I played a little piece of there going into last break. MJF comes out, cuts this promo about, you know, what he thinks the problem is in the company, and obviously it leads to him and Moxley. Everybody's got Moxley in his sights, because Moxley, you know, next week we get, what's his name? A skateboard kid.
Darby Allin,
they're taking him on, you know, after they tag teamed together this past week. Everyone's got him in their targets, you know. Brian Cage still looking at John Moxley, but it's funny is if you saw the EC3 promo on his debut on Impact Wrestling, there were some similarities between those promos and what MJF came out and said. If you have an opportunity to go back and watch it, because you know they're both kind of, I mean, yes, it's an anti-establishmentarian type of promo, you know, you got to go after the top guy and stuff, but they came out and said maybe that they had, you know, that they borrowed a little bit, but you know, wrestling, you know, everyone's borrowing from everybody now. You know, if it wasn't for what AEW is doing, WWE would their TV show would be even worse ratings, I think. You know, being in, you know, in the performance center. So what do you guys think about MJF's promo? I mean, it was definitely well done. I mean, he definitely came out and he cut a beautiful promo, and then he said, look at everybody around here, who's going to be here in 20 years? He goes, me. You know, and I thought that was pretty cool. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, there's that. And he came out and said a lot of stuff that is very true that should actually piss off a lot of AEW fans. Flips aren't good wrestling. Just because you can do a flip, it isn't good wrestling. And a lot of people believe that's true. If you got the gymnastics show, everything he said was true. That's why I love heels, and I love real heels, because he said everything that was true. Moxley acts like Stone Cold Steve Austin. He walks in and thinks he owns the place. Everything he said was true. I love the promo. I can't wait till he takes the title off of him at All Out.
Ooh.
Wow. I thought the promo was great. I think he's terrific on the microphone. I think he is obviously building himself into a future star and top guy in the company and in the industry. I don't know how I feel about him being in the world title picture yet, to be honest. Obviously, like, his win-loss record is good and everything. I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, I haven't been super crazy about Moxley as champion either, to be quite honest, but I don't know if it's MJF's time yet or if this could be maybe a little bit more of a slow build. But either way, I mean, he proved himself on the mic yet again for sure this week.
Yeah, that promo was probably one of the best promos you've seen in quite some time. Not only that, it's, you know, we talked about, was there a top story this week? If we want to boil it down to one, I think the overwhelming theme this week is, I think every company has strong momentum on things going forward, with the exception of WWE. And I hate to sound like a broken record and keep, you know, harping on them, but there's so much to look forward to right now in TNA. There's so much to look forward to right now, you know, in AEW. There's nothing I'm looking forward to with WWE. Nothing.
True.
There's nothing that makes me want to tune in and watch.
A Big E push is literally the only thing I can think of on that list. So. Yeah.
And he comes
but
out,
then I don't know if I trust them to do it right either.
But he comes out last night and debuts a submission hold. So I thought that was cool. And they let him be a little bit different than he's been. So Big E there. But what do you think about MJF's promo there, Mr. Josh? I'll call you by your real name. Or did I give it away? Oops.
Okay. No, we're good. Sorry, I was having some technical difficulties. I was having a hard time hearing some people on their point of views there. But I really enjoyed MJF's promo. I think it was the most real thing I've seen in professional wrestling in a little bit. It was just so, it was kind of like from the heart, but it was exactly what MJF is. Everything about what he said was real. Everything was true. I loved it. I agree exactly with Danger. I think, you know, he's the perfect heel. You know, he's so young, he's snarky, he comes off with that brash, you know, persona, and this is his time. I mean, we've been saying it for the last couple weeks now on the show how, you know, they throw all these new debuting guys right into the title scene. You know, they've been feeding them to Mox, really, and Mox comes out as the champ still. I think this is the time where we can kind of turn the tables a little bit, allow them to continue to build on everything else, but also continue to build a future and bright star in MJF and give him this title run early. You know, maybe similar to the whole Randy Orton thing when he was so young winning the World Heavyweight Championship at such a young age. Not saying that him and Orton are alike, but, you know, give him this run. See how he does early on in his career as the main guy. And then I think that's only going to further build him to being even more of a star in AEW.
I think with MJF, like, you, the way that he is starting to prove himself, like, he's going to be a great champion for the company, no doubt about it. And when people win titles in major wrestling companies, I think it's always most exciting when it's the first one. I always love seeing guys win a title for the first time. And I'm going to enjoy it whenever it happens for MJF, and building new stars is very important for that company. The only thing that I wonder about is in this specific circumstance with a company that's been on TV for less than a year, obviously they chose to go with Jericho over Paige a year ago because they were brand new and they needed that name recognition. They went from Jericho to Moxley. Obviously he's got name value as well. And I don't want it to be a company where it turns into like maybe early TNA or whatever the case is, where you've got nothing but guys who made a name elsewhere holding the title. You have to create your new stars. The only thing I wonder, though, is like for a new company on TNT, can MJF really be your world champion this early in the company? It's not anything against him, but for the value of promoting a new product out there, there are plenty of wrestling fans out there or casual people that are going to be like, who the heck is this guy? And, you know, there's two sides to that. I'm not saying I'm totally against it. I think they might be cautious about that this early into the company itself.
Yeah, and you know, but you know, one thing I've been thinking recently, and maybe this past week is a good example of it, is I think they're throwing out trying to keep their plans, you know, static until they are able to be in front of crowds again, because I don't think that that's something that they can predict right now. So I think belts can change hands. I think now, at least, I think we've gotten to the point where I think we think it can happen. So could MJF win this at the next pay-per-view? I mean, he does throw the challenge out there as well. Everyone's challenging right now. The one good thing is we're going to see Mox taking on a bunch of people before he loses the belt, you know, and that's another good thing. Yeah, but you're right about the former WWE guys, you know, coming in and, you know, being the champs and trying to create someone from within. I mean, if you're going to give it to anybody, why don't you give it to Orange Cassidy, you know, if you're based on popularity right now. But I would think, yeah, MJF came out, cut just a, you know, his, and in fact, he mentioned the ratings thing. He briefly mentioned the ratings and about how, like, you know, he tends to pull high numbers when he's talking on TV, which seems like everyone's been talking a little bit about since Jericho mentioned it a couple weeks ago. And I would love to see the guy, you know, what he could, to give him a run, see what he does. Obviously with Wardlow, he's going to be the Shawn Michaels Diesel kind of, you know, champ, I'm guessing, you know, come out. And even though Wardlow did get his last match, he did win cleanly. So but yeah, I'm excited for him.
I got one. was going to say, I got one thought that comes to my mind about MJF being the champ. Very first feud, Eddie Kingston versus MJF. The Starkey guy who comes from money, MJF, versus Eddie Kingston, who's, you know, sold his ring gear just to pay rent. How about that? Two guys from New York.
Yeah, you can definitely fantasy book that. That seems very logical. I think there's some of the originals have got to be involved in a lot of things going on, like Cody Rhodes, Cody. I don't want to get slapped with a fee for using his full name, but as well as some of the Young Bucks or whatever. There's a lot of guys. I mean, this company started with all of them, and I think a lot of them really do deserve a run, maybe in championships. Right now we've got Hangman Page and holding the tag titles and stuff, but I like MJF. It's like he reminds me a lot of Roddy Piper. I don't know why, but he does. He's very snarky that way, and when he cuts his promos, and I speaking of Roddy Piper, died 5 years ago this week, which doesn't seem like it's been that long, but man, it's been that long. So we're gonna take another break.
I was gonna say with the MJF thing too. Like, I think you think about like all these things that have happened during the pandemic, the moments that we've lost because of no crowd, whether it was Hardy or Brody debuting, Drew McIntyre winning. Like, I also think it would kind of be a shame to give MJF could win the title dirty in front of a sold out arena at a pay-per-view and have that negative but loud reaction that we're going to miss out on if it happens in an empty Daily's place. So, again, you can't stop everything just because of what's going on. I mean, they still have to keep the storylines going on and stuff. I kind of would like to see it built up more for him, and maybe that's something that then, builds up slowly to full gear in November. Maybe we have a crowd then or whatever the case is, but I just think it's kind of soon.
Very cool. Okay, we're going to go to break on that. I did get a text from somebody asking me what I thought about Sasha two belts now. Maybe we can talk about that on the flip side. We've got WWE Women's Tag Team Champions also holding the titles for each of the shows. And we'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Mandy Rose with no hair. Let's see.
Cross, you have clearly made it a point that you want my attention, that you want this championship, and you've done so much extra bullshit. I am in this ring, I'm standing here very clearly doing something that you don't seem to have the balls to do. And that is face to face, man to man. Karrion Kross, calling you out. But Drew, I'm talking to you now, buddy. Listen, you got a problem. And that problem, Drew, is that you have what I want. And I have a tend to take things from people that I want to take in the biggest way possible, in the biggest environment, the biggest, grandest atmosphere possible. So this is what I want, Drew. I want a WWE World Championship match at SummerSlam.
This is Ronda Rousey, and you're listening on Sports 1280 on WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cashman with Furby, DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, Danger Boy, and you. And we got texts, like I said, right before we went to break there, asking me what do you guys think about Sasha Banks being given that belt. What was it, a double count out? Is that how she got it? Or no, she won by a count out on Monday Night Raw this past week. It wasn't, got two ladies with four belts, so they could be like four belts? I don't know. But
it's the two-woman power trip.
That's right, the two-woman power trip. Works out. It works well. You suggest that you should copyright it immediately. I think it's been done already, though. But what do you got? What do you think, Ferbs? I know you love Sasha Banks. You know, I mean,
I love my two belts, Banks. It was weird feeling, honestly, the fact that she won, that you can win a title on a countout like that, especially considering the title was in such, you know, mixed, like, gray area. Yeah. Anyways, I'm like, Asuka was still champ technically, but she was carrying the belt. But now you're going to have a match for a title that's still technically Asuka's, but now she can win by countout. Like, okay, whatever. But all I got to say on this, really kind of going towards what we saw a little bit last night with a little heat between Nikki and Alexa. If I see a breakup between Nikki and Alexa before I see a breakup between Sasha and Bayley, I will be disappointed.
Well, I think that's what you're going to get, buddy. I think we've heard that Nikki's going bad or going heel a little bit, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, speaking of that, you brought up that moment. Any of you guys have any points on this Sasha Banks thing? I mean, we get them on every show. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. Is it overkill with, you know, Bayley and Sasha?
Not overkill in the sense that it's probably one of the better things they have going. So I'd much rather see that than a lot of other options.
Sure.
Although I hate, Asuka is so damn good, and I hate the way she's been used.
Well, you know, originally Asuka was supposed to be taking on Kairi Sane in at SummerSlam, and Kairi Sane, you know, of course, is gone now from WWE. Actually, it's interesting. It was 2 weeks ago when Kairi was injured, or no, was actually lost the match, and then I think they taped the next segment, which she got injured outside the ring to send her off. Oh, look at that. We got Kairi. If you're watching on Facebook Live right now, I see a giant Kairi Sane in the pirate hat where Furby's face used to be. Kairi,
I was waiting to show that all show.
Kairi's done, so she's gone. And so they kind of ruined what they were planning on doing for SummerSlam, because she was going to leave after the SummerSlam match. I guess that got moved up a little bit. But I don't like when a champ doesn't get pinned to lose a belt. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's just not a good thing. What are your Danger thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't. Again, it was another great match that was ruined by the finish. They've been doing that a lot lately. I don't have a problem with Sasha and Bayley having the spotlight right now, especially with the marquee names of the women's division being slim. I wish they would propel someone up in the division and allow them to take place alongside them. But at the same time, you know, they had the limitations with Kairi leaving. And I did notice last night they said it was a career-ending injury she suffered when she was ran into the door. I don't know why it's career-ending for her, but everyone else is back the next week. But all being said, other than NXT, WWE still has the best women's division going. I know NXT is part of WWE, but I treat them separately. They have a great women's division. WWE has a decent women's division. Impact has a decent women's division, and AEW dropped the ball with theirs again this week.
Yeah. How about you, Rob?
And I just want to go back. Oops, sorry.
I was just gonna say, like, with Dan was saying, like, overkill, and I think it's overkill on purpose. I mean, that's what they're going for. I'm okay with it as long as they just don't keep this going with them having four belts for way too long. As a temporary thing, it's fine, but when you have that much talent under contract, you do not need those two holding four belts for a very long time.
Herb?
And that's pretty much what I was gonna say along the lines of too. You know, it's one of those things where I think they're probably one of the best things on TV for WWE right now.
You're biased. Don't listen to this man. You're biased. You love Sasha Banks.
No, I mean, yes, it's absolutely biased. However, with there not being much else that's really entertaining, the fact that you get these really heelish character women on TV all the time, flaunting their stuff, I like it. I think it is exactly what it needs to be. They're portraying exactly what they want. You want these, you know, heelish figures on TV with these women, and that's what you're getting from Bayley and Sasha. And they're ruling the women's division right now, and that's exactly what you want now with the storyline that they're playing.
One thing I was going to mention is that Bayley has finishes in all her matches. So Sasha, on the other hand, always needs a little help here or there. But, I mean, Bayley has, like, had clean wins over a lot of people she's been beating lately. So I enjoy propping her up because of all the clean wins. But one thing before we go to break here one time. After we mentioned earlier the breakup of Alexa Bliss, and now Alexa Bliss was left in the ring, and we got The Fiend to come back last night. Kind of like a flashback to Extreme Rules there with The Fiend coming out. And now, listen. I don't know what the intent was, but The Fiend sticking his hand in her mouth to end the show. What did you guys think of that? I mean, that was just bizarre. I mean, very subliminal, bizarre.
Makes perfect sense. Braun, in the match, the manifestation of Alexa Bliss was Braun's, want of her from when they did the Mixed Match Challenge. They're supposedly friends, so The Fiend went after one of his friends to try to get him to show up with the title. Makes sense.
Okay. I mean, that's simple.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Cash.
Yeah, stop it. I know. We're going to go to break on that.
So we're saying Ron is, or The Fiend is not the guy who paid $400 for Alexa to ask him out on Camino.
On that note, we're going to go to break. Thank you, Mr. Ortiz, for sending it off with a little humor. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Well, obviously, Mustafa, you're not thinking very clearly right now. You do realize that tonight you're going one-on-one with the almighty, the CEO of the Hurt Business. Now, you can join us here in the VIP lounge and party like a rock star. Or you can sit next to Apollo Crews at home on the couch. You can be a champion, or you can be chum in the water for predators. It's your call, bruh.
Well, get out of the fast lane, Grandma, because the bingo game is ready to roll. This is Disco Inferno, and you're listening to The Pain Clip.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic, little Disco Inferno. There's a couple things we really need to talk about. One, is this Adam Cole thing completely with McAfee completely made up? I mean, it looks
100%.
Yeah. I mean, because the way that McAfee was like laughing at him, saying he was a little guy and stuff, it's like I don't think McAfee's that dumb. A true host. Oh, you doubt that?
I mean, it's totally made up. I wouldn't say he's not dumb though, but.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. It's Mac. He was a punter, so it doesn't take a lot of brains for that, right? Punted with the Indianapolis Colts for years.
Disrespect Brian Moorman.
Okay. I'm not
the best
going.
Player in the league.
McAfee also had a high Wonderlic score too. I think he was in the 30s or something like that. So he's not entirely dumb. But he's playing along with the game.
Yeah, I mean, he was
literally the game when it came later on.
Yeah, so the game did come on and apologize and ask him to come to NXT. So we're going to see McAfee in the ring, I'm guessing, eventually. Or maybe McAfee will pick somebody to be in the ring. Who knows?
He'll come win the 24/7 title.
Yeah, why not? Everybody else has won it, especially a lot of ex-athletes. So I wanted to bring that up so we all kind of agree on that. And then the last thing really I want to talk about was Aleister Black and him getting written off Raw this past week, which to me is, I don't know. I like the character. I liked what, I just don't think that anyone got behind him because he would get to a certain point and then drop back and then get to a certain point again and be dropped back. And it's like now this week they decided to take his eye out or whatever, and now he's going to get retooled. We're not going to see, that music I love playing in the beginning of the show that apparently incites demon worshiping. But,
think of the children, Cash.
I know, I got to think of the kids. But what do you guys think? I mean, has this been a given up on Aleister Black's character? I mean, this is what he was when he came in. It's like you're asking him to revamp everything,
I don't think it's so much
a person to blame, and it's Vince.
Sure.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's so much a giving up on Aleister Black. I mean, Vince even says that he likes Black. He just, I don't know if he really is all in on the character, so we'll see what they do with him coming up. You know, he'll be off for a little bit. But I did want to chime in just real quick about my my weekend here in Atlantic City, going to see GCW Homecoming.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen, there's pictures on the Facebook page of the Pain Clinic where you were out there on the boardwalk. Actually, there was an outdoor match.
It was an outdoor event, 2 days, right on the Garden Pier, on the Atlantic City boardwalk. And let me tell you something, what a show. And first of all, they did everything right that you want to see in as far as the social distancing, and they promoted it perfectly. You know, you have your mask on, everybody is socially distanced. They got people coming around with hand sanitizer at all time. They take your temperature before you even get into the place. It was awesome to see. But let me tell you, first of all, I got to see Leo Rush. He came out and wrestled Joey Janela on Sunday.
This is the first time Leo Rush has done anything since he left WWE.
Yes, yeah. It was his first match, and they packaged it and promoted it as his final match. I've got a 10-minute long promo that I posted on my personal Facebook page between Janela and Leo, and it was very heartfelt and emotional. Go check it out. The whole event, first of all, hardcore wrestling or deathmatch wrestling, it's freaking awesome. The distinct noise of the pop that you hear from the fluorescent light tubes is just crazy. These guys are nuts, but it was awesome. They got another show coming up August 22nd and 23rd back at the same place. I will most likely be going again. Actually, I am going to be going again. So that's about 3 weeks from now. That was during my scheduled vacation for SummerSlam. I'm getting my money back for SummerSlam finally. But yeah, I mean, GCW, they did everything right. A lot of names, you know, Mance Warner was there, Myron Reed, Jordan Oliver, which that guy is going to be a star in the making, I think, too. He's like 19, 20 years old. He's a perfect heel guy. Just a lot of good stuff that came in. It was just a heck of a weekend. Come That's on, all I got to say.
You saw Joey Janela's girlfriend, too. Okay, admit it.
I did.
I don't know how much mention or how much people know, too, is like GCW's obviously been making a really big name for itself over the past couple of years. That's run by a guy named Brett that's from Rochester.
Yes.
So maybe someday they'll run here.
So actually, I want to comment on that, too, because my buddy is big into the independent wrestling scene, too, and he actually tweeted at him 2 days ago, and that was actually one of their plans to actually bring a show to Buffalo. And he has sights potentially of maybe bringing a show to Rochester as well. So maybe some things we'll see from GCW locally too.
Very cool. Very cool. So thanks for that update. You guys have any thoughts on weird Aleister Black there? I mean, Danger, you have any before we get out of here? We're almost running out of time.
Well, I hope they find something. I know Vince thinks the character is limiting, and the way he portrayed it from the start when he's been on the main roster is because they did it completely wrong. They should use him as more of an attraction like NXT did and built him that way. But the fact that Vince actually likes the person and likes his talent and his size and all that stuff is encouraging, but we'll see how far it goes. I don't trust anything more than 3 weeks in this company at this point.
Yeah, true. I mean, how long will he be gone? That's the question. We talking like, you know, 5 months before he shows up? Does he show up on SmackDown? You know, try something different over there? I don't know. It's like, but there's a guy I like, so... That's about all the news we could squeeze in. There was second quarter highlights that we didn't get to from WWE.
Shocker, they didn't have to fire everybody, and they made more money than they planned on it.
Yeah, because they fired everybody. That's why they made, because of the production.
And they're not traveling.
Yeah, the production costs were down, so they made money. Beyond that, they signed Leon Ruff from Evolve, and you should see some more stars showing up after they bought Evolve. So I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Mr. Artiste. Thank you, DC Dan Cole down in North Carolina. Thank you. Thank you for Verby and Hilton, Danger Boy in Rochester, Gates, whatever. I forgot, Mr. Artiste in Rochester. And I'm downtown. We'll see you next week here, Fox Sports 1280.